something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I'm C.J. Layton, coming to you from inside the secret broadcast cave of the Phantom Radio Studio in Lake Wales, Florida, home of the premier radio bowling talk show. PBA Hall of Famer Len Nicholson was instrumental in developing the PBA Lane Maintenance Program in 1971, and it is still referred to today. He was a founding member of the Bowling Foundation, which was created to find solutions to scoring issues in bowling. Len has been with the Kegel Company since 1995. He was also a recipient of the bowling industry's Flowers for the Living Award and the John Davis Award in recognition for his contributions to the sport. And now the Phantom and his friends are hosting the Phantom Radio Junior Bowling Club. The Phantom will tell you more. So, Phantom fans, let's welcome our host, Len Nicholson, the Phantom.
Well, thank you, CJ. And a reminder that Phantom Radio is presented by the Kegel Company. Well, Phantom fans, this week we have yet another very special guest to talk to as we continue to interview who's who in the world of bowling in each and every area of our great sport. And our guest this week is another junior bowler that we promised to feature. And this is a seventh junior, and we are proud to have him in our ever-growing group. He's a member of the Phantom Radio Junior Bowlers Club. We'd love to have him. I'm glad he joined. He's one of the charter members, and he's 15 years old, and he's an up-and-coming talented bowler. He has other athletic skills that we're going to talk a little bit about later, but let's get him out here so we can meet him. So, Phantom fans, here is our guest this week, Casey Hughes. Hello, Casey, and welcome to Phantom Radio, my friend.
Hi there. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, you speak right up. You sound like you're about 25 years old, but I saw the thing here. You're only 15. It's hard to believe, but you got a very strong voice. And I hear you got a pretty strong bowling ball too, but you know, I mentioned that you're a charter member of our group and that you're now in the seventh member to be on the show. And the other members I'd like to mention, we want to keep promoting the kids. They need more exposure. But one of your friends was the very first show. His name is Mason Hirsch. He's from Wisconsin back there. And Rush Steen and Caitlin Abagania. And then there's a kid named Ridgely Potter Jr., also Jordan Betchart, and Emily Kringle. I know you know Mason, but do you know any of the other ones there?
I know Rush. The other names sound familiar, but I can't put a picture to the name.
All right. Well, they're all on the show. You can always go back and look. I'm sure you're going to want to hear this show a couple of times to make sure that you're really cool. You really do sound like a cool young kid, but that one guy that you mentioned, Rush Steen, he's been on the show twice. He's one heck of a good bowler, and just like your mom, you know, he's got a great dad and his mom too. But anyway, he was an excellent guest, and just like I know that you are going to be too. But you know, I mentioned your mom. I want to send out a thanks to her for helping line this thing up. It's a little bit technical from time to time, and you know, your mom's not near as old as I am, but I'm not really good on all this computer stuff, but she pulled it out and she said, you know it all too. So this younger generation is unbelievable. But yeah, I also mentioned in the opening that you were also an accomplished athlete. So if you would, go ahead and tell us what other sports that you've played.
Well, I started in baseball. I was in the Pee Wee League. I moved up to the Bantams. A while ago, I stopped playing baseball. Focusing
okay,
more on bowling.
Were you a better hitter or a better fielder?
I was a better fielder.
Okay. You weren't afraid of the ball, right?
No. My coach always told me I was the best right fielder they had.
Okay. Well, I heard that you're versatile. I heard that you also played a little bit of second base.
Yeah. Not often second base, but it was fun to get out of the outfield for once.
Okay, cool. Well, you're versatile, and, you know, it takes a lot of skill to play baseball. I'll tell you what, I played it for a few years myself, but there's another sport here I see. Very few kids that I know about are involved in, and you were involved in karate for a while, and you became a high red belt, correct?
Yes, sir.
So did you like all that physical contact? Did you learn how to defend yourself?
I did. It was fun. I learned a lot there, and I wish I could go back to it.
All right. Well, maybe down the road, you know, you got a full plate right now with school and homework and bowling, and I understand you're bowling a lot of events nowadays, so you know, you got to spread yourself out. You don't want to get too thin with your time because, you know, if you do too many things, you put a little bit of things off and you don't get into it like you should. So, yeah, you stick with bowling for a while and see how good you can get as soon as you can, all right?
All righty.
All right. As I said in the opening, I want people to get to know you, and I want to get to know you too. And I'm very impressed with you already. I can tell by talking to you. I talked to a lot of people over the years, and I can feel people out pretty quick. You got a nice little personality there, and you speak right up, and that's cool. But let's start at the beginning. How old were you when you first went bowling, and who took you?
I started bowling at 5 years old, and my mom was the first person who took me bowling.
Okay, so did she show you how to bowl or teach you anything? Was she your first coach? What?
She was kind of my first coach. My dad was also there to help me.
Okay. Now, how long was it before you really started getting interested? At first, I know it was just fun and throw the ball down the lane, try to keep it in between the gutters. You were 5 years old when you started. That's pretty young. How long did it take you to where you got to be decent at the game, like 100 average?
It took a few years, probably around the age of 9.
Okay. That shows your athletic ability because some kids, it takes them to their teenagers. By then, they give up on it because it's not as easy as these pros make it look, right? Do you watch the pros on TV?
Every now and then, it's up on the TV, so
have fun. Is there anybody that you like to watch more than anybody else? What kind of style is your favorite to watch?
I like seeing other two-handers and one-handers. My favorite is Santu. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I like watching two-handers bowl and trying to see if I can learn anything from them.
Good for you. Explore all you can. Learn all you can. Nobody knows it all. Trust me. I know that for a fact. The great players keep learning to the last day they ever bowl. And there's always something new to learn. This game's ever-changing. About every 10 years, it goes through big changes with not only the lane surfaces, but the lane oils. And then the bowling balls all change every few years. So you got to keep learning and keep on top of it. So after your mom and dad coach a little bit, and you were getting pretty good, you're up in the 100s, maybe up to 120 or whatever, did you get another coach, a better coach or a more qualified coach or what?
I was in the middle school team, and my coach, Dave Stenke, he was pretty much my coach from middle school to probably start of junior high.
Okay. And that's about what, 13 years old, 14, something like that?
From about probably 12 or 11 to 13 years.
Okay.
11 to 13 years old.
All right. So is he still your coach?
I do get advice from him now, every now and then, but he is not my main coach.
All right. Well, who is your main coach so we can blame him if anything goes wrong?
My main coach is Ben Glasscock. He has a YouTube channel called Ten Pin Life, and he is the coach of the high school varsity DC Everest bowling team.
Okay, cool. Then have you watched him bowl at all? Does he get out there and display anything?
I haven't seen him bowl that often, but when he does bowl, he is a very good bowler, and he also gives really good advice.
Well, that's good to know. So, yeah, there's several aspects of the game. Basically, I break it down to five. There's the physical game. There's the mental game. There's the equipment that you have to have knowledge of what ball to use. You know, there's adjustments and there's lining up. Of all five of those areas, I always think that the most important is the mental game because that's the one common denominator of all great athletes. They all have a great mind. Does he teach you anything about the mental game at all when you guys are getting together?
He definitely does. My mental game isn't where it should be. It's definitely below average. It needs a lot of improvement.
Well, at least you know it. And if you know about it, you can fix it. If you don't know anything about it, you can't fix it. So I'm glad you're aware of that, because that's going to be the most important thing down the road. Because, yeah, I was on the tour for way too many years to mention, but I've seen them all come and go. And I've probably seen 10,000 scratch bowlers bowling in tournaments. And there's only about 50 of them that really make any money at the game, because it's a fine line between being a very good bowler and a great bowler. And the one thing that separates them is the mental game. It's a frustrating game. And you get a double and you leave a ringing 10 or a solid 8, you know, that can affect you negatively if you let it. And a lot of times that'll happen to a bowler, and they can't stand it. They throw the next ball real hard at the spare, and now they get their timing off. And one little bad break or one little rap, tap, whatever you want to call it, can have them go off course, get off kilter. And they let that one little thing bother them, and that's what separates the greats from the goods. So you keep working on it. And I like to tell everybody, you know, that I've studied this for years and years and years. And if you want to learn something, you go on the internet and you look up whatever. If you look up self-help or positive thinking, you'll never get to the end of reading all that, because libraries are full of all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like I tell people, you know, doctors are all great, whatever, you know, part of the anatomy they're working on. But if you got a broken finger, look in the x-ray and they go, oh, you got a broken finger, we got to put a cast on it. 6 weeks. If you have a bad mind, they can't see it on an x-ray. So the psychiatrist and all those kind of guys that work on your mind, you know, sports psychiatrists and all that, they can't see it. They got to watch you and listen to you, and you got to tell them your thoughts. So they're the ones that make the most money, because it's not easy to read somebody's mind. I tell people a lot of times that I can read lips, but I can't read minds. So you just keep working on that mental game, and if it catches up to your physical game, you know, you're going to probably be a success. Let's talk just a minute about your equipment. Do you have an arsenal of balls?
Yes, I do. I have close to, I'd say, 13 bowling balls.
Cool. Yeah, do you know what every one of them does?
We've made a list of them, but currently not every one I can remember off the top of my head. The main six that I use, I do have a very good idea of what they will do.
All right. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know what ball you're using. That's very, very important. Some go a little longer. Some hook a little earlier. They all react a little bit different. And you got to know. The great players, like I say, they know when to change equipment. Sometimes they think, oh, a weaker bowler might think, oh, I threw that one bad, I better get another ball. Well, if you're throwing it bad, no ball is going to be any good. So you got to know if it's you or the bowling ball, okay? This coach of yours, does he know anything about lane conditions?
He knows a very good lot about lane conditions. He knows probably, I'd say, around 4 times as much as I do. He's definitely been around the lanes longer than I have. He's done a very fair share of research. He always does a very good job. Whenever he wants us to make a ball change, it always works out.
Okay, well, I understand that you just moved up as far as the caliber of player that you are. I know when I was just starting out way back in the middle 50s, you know, I started out, we only had one bowling ball back then, a hard rubber ball, and you had to learn what to do with each ball that you had, even though you had two balls, basically. One was real hard, and the other one was harder. So we always had a spare ball to make our 10 pins with. So we had to learn which one. They were both black balls. If you got confused, the one ball hooked one more board than the other. It didn't do you any good to change balls if you went to the wrong ball. So we had to make a conscious effort to know exactly. And then as time went by with the plastics came along, and then soft plastic, then urethane, and you know yourself that the balls nowadays, they're all a lot different. And the lane conditions exaggerate the ball reaction. So you got to be able to read that right away. So keep learning as much as you can about ball reaction, okay?
Okay.
All right. So when you practice, do you practice just striking or do you practice try to learn about making adjustments?
I always try to learn about making adjustments. Whenever I'm struggling with how I'm throwing the ball, I always revert to one step or no step drills. I like to bowl 6 games or 5 games. 1 game with each ball, trying to adjust, see what it can and can't do.
Good for you. When I had the option of watching the great players week after week after week for years after years, they'd have a practice session before the tournament would start, and there'd be 160 players in the field, and there's only about 50 of them that could win. The other 100 were a bunch of donators. And you'd watch them practice, and they'd get on a pair in the practice session, and they'd strike, and they'd stick their chest out, how good they were doing. But some of the other players, the great ones, they'd throw 5 or 6 or 8 shots and then move a couple pairs. They'd find out what the cross was like, how many pairs you're going to skip, blah, 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 because they knew the lanes weren't going to be exactly the same the next day anyway. So if you fake yourself out by getting lined up, and tomorrow they might be a little bit different. All you want, you can complain, oh, they're different today. Yeah, well, so is everything different every day. Your body's different. Your hand's different. You ever notice your thumb changes from time to time?
I don't notice it too much. I'm a two-hander, so I don't use my thumb.
Oh, so. Okay. See, I didn't find that out. I had that on my list here to ask. So, okay, well, that's one problem you've eliminated. It's not a bad idea, to tell you the truth, with the way things are going nowadays. And there's a lot of really great two-handed players. When you go to a tournament site, basically you've never been to this bowling center before. You got to bowl a tournament. And let's say it's a 6-game qualifier or whatever it may be. And you find out all the ins and outs of what the tournament's going to be like. Do you also get a practice session when you go to a tournament?
Yes. We normally get 10 minutes of practice. Sometimes we throw 1 shot or 2 shots. Whenever someone like leaves a spare, we always try to pick it up.
Yeah, that's a good idea because I used to watch the guys, they'd punch it off. You know, they didn't want to shoot at a single pin. And then you see them, they'd miss 3 or 4 spares the first game. They had their strike ball lined up, but they didn't have anything else lined up. So I understand that you probably just help your parents out a lot by having a job. Because it's expensive to bowl nowadays. So you work at the bowling alley, I heard.
Yes, I work at Dale's Western Lanes. That's my home bowling alley.
All right, what do you do there? You just clean up around the tee areas or mop the floors, or what do you do?
Well, I'm called the bowling back. So basically, I'm just like getting ice for places, cleaning the tables, just putting the bowling balls back where they should be, and cleaning shoes.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many great players start out that exact same way. You know, that's really a nice job to have because you're inside your place where you really love. I'm sure you love the game, right? You love bowling, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Did they give you a rate on practice?
They don't give you a rate on practice, but when you're a league bowler, I believe it's $10 an hour.
Yeah, that's getting up there because you, being young, probably takes you 3 hours before you even work up a little bit of sweat. Most old timers like me are done after an hour, but you kids have a lot of energy and all that. So what's your tournament schedule look like in the next couple of months? Do you have a plan of where you're going to go, what you're going to do?
So in the next month or so, next week we have a high school state. So that's gonna be really fun. There's gonna be a couple local tournaments on Saturday and Sunday. JBST, WYBTs. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, when I was working on the tour, we used to go to Milwaukee, and I loved to go to Wisconsin because so many bowlers. It's just a bowling. It used to be like a bowling capital. It used to be called the Red Carpet Lanes, and there was 5 or 6 of those bowling centers up there near Milwaukee and all that. There were 72 lane centers, a lot of them. It'd be 36 on one side, 36 on the other. And you could always find a lane in there to bowl on because, you know, that's a lot of lanes in a bowling center. But, yeah, good for you to have a job. How many hours a week do you work?
I only normally work on Fridays. It depends what times I put in. So last week I worked from 5 to 9, but it can be anywhere from 3 to 5-hour shifts.
All right, well, good for you. You know, every kid should have a job, learn some more responsibility. It'll never hurt you in the long run. Instead of just hanging around, not doing nothing, playing video games or whatever, you earn a couple of bucks so you can learn the value of the money. That's a good idea. You sound like you're very, very mature for your age. 15 years old, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I got one or two more questions here before we run out of time. I can see on the old clock on the wall up there. We got to also allow for the opening music and the closing music. But let's just say this. You're 15. Do you have any goals set up so far?
One goal that I really want to look forward to is definitely doing really well in high school state, making my team proud. I want to get a 700 series. I haven't gotten one yet, and I was very close. Just looking forward to that, and even possibly getting more consistent with throwing the ball and how I have it in my hand.
So, how big are you? I can't tell on the screen here.
I'm very short. I'm like 5'2".
What do you weigh? About 130 or what?
Yeah, 130 pounds.
All right. Well, you know, you're still going to grow a lot. You're only 15 years old, but it doesn't make any difference in the sport. You can be really tall or big like Steve Cook or who's that guy? Wes Mallott. They call him the monster, whatever they call him. And then,
yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen Norm Duke, right?
Yep. I have a signed card from him in my phone case.
Cool. He was a great player and a great guy and one heck of a good athlete. It's like everybody else. Nothing came easy for him. He kept working and working and working. And the old adage is true. Whoever works the hardest is usually the best. So keep that in mind. And one last thing. What kind of grade do you get in school?
Currently, every single class has an A.
Well, fantastic. You know, that put the icing on the cake for me. I'm going to keep my eye on you. And in fact, I talk to Brian Hirsch every once in a while. I know he knows you, and I'm going to ask him to check on you for me because I can't see you from out here in California, but I got a couple of spies. So, Casey, it's been an honor talking to you. A real pleasure. Keep an eye on our website. This show will go on March 6th. And so we're going to, you know, we advertise it and all that kind of stuff. So tell all your friends about it. And you got any last second questions you want to ask before we go?
I think I'm all good. But thank you for having me on here. It was a real pleasure. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, you're a gentleman, and I can see good things for you in the future because you're very mature, and that's what it takes. Some kids don't grow up till they're 30 years old, and it's too late. It seems like you've already grown up, so good for you. And give my best to your mom. I haven't met your dad yet, but I'm sure I will one of these days. But the old clock on the wall does tell me we're out of time, and I can't believe how quickly the time flies in this show. And it's probably why they say it's the fastest show in all of sports. But I do want to thank our sponsors, Storm Bowling and Brad Edelman from the High Roller. And so, Phantom fans, that's going to wrap up another show for this week. Hope that you all enjoyed it. You enjoyed hearing from Casey Hughes. I'm sure we're going to hear from him again. More about him as time goes by. He's got some talent, I can tell. And we look forward to talking to all of you again next week. We have another interesting guest to talk to. We sincerely want to thank our sponsors and also the volunteers that helped me with the Phantom Radio Bowlers Junior Club. And that's Brian Hirsch, Sam Villarreal, and Dave Kowalski. So for Phantom Radio, this is the Phantom.
When you're down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing, well, nothing is going right, Close your eyes and think of me, and soon.